Okay, so we are going to start Masechta Bavavastra. So we talked about before the idea that the three Bavas essentially are one long Masechta, which all deals with Dini Mammonis, with all the different things having to do with monetary claims and whatever. So, that's one of them. So Bavavastra, to a large extent, things in Bavavastra talk about things that have to do with land. It's not all. There's several chapters in the middle that have to do with other things, but by and large, you can summarize that much of what's in Bavavastra has to do with dinim, that have to do with land. And the Rambam mentions also another reason why this one is last among all of them is because, unlike Bava Kamma, where most of it was based on psukim, and Bava Metzia, where parts of it were, Bavavastra, very little of it is based, very little of the dinim in it, except for some in the 8th and 9th Peret, are based on psukim. Most of them are based on minhag medina, on local minhag, and other takanas of the hachamim, and other such things. The Meiri talks about, basically, you could summarize the what's in Bavavastra. He says you can summarize it under six topics. If you have the topic of dividing up property between partners and whatever. That's topic number one, that's most of our parak. The second parak is going to be about things that neighbors are and aren't allowed to do in their property when it's near somebody else's, where it can have an effect on something in the other person's property. The third parak is going to be about chazaka, about what it takes to be considered that you're presumed to be the owner of a piece of property. After that, we're going to have four prakim that talk about details of mekach u'mekher, of buying and selling. Most of them are going to be about what's included when you buy or sell something, but there's going to be different other things that come into play with that. After that, there's the dinim of inheritance and the dinim of shtaris, so legal documents. Those are the six basic topics that he says the Masechta covers.
What's the unifying?
So the unifying thing, so that's the thing. Most of them have to do with karka, most of them have to do with land, but there is a little bit in between about metalpilin as well. It's interesting, actually, I saw in the introduction to the Sansino Gemara, they gave a different way of summarizing it, that basically this Masechta is all about claims. What I can claim from you in the property, what I can claim from you when I'm buying something, etc. Which is another way of... The Rebbe talks about a deeper idea of it. The three Babas that Rebbe explains in one of the last sichas that Rebbe ever said, Mishpat Shafir Nun Beis, that Rebbe explained that the three Babas, on a deeper level, represent the three major Gullias of the Jewish people. Gullus Mitzrayim, the Gullus after the first Churban, and the Gullus after the second Churban. So all of them are Nizikin, all of them are damages of one kind or another. Bava Kamma, we know, was about actual damages. My ox damaged yours. I caused you damage with my fire or my burr or what have you. That was the first one. That was the first step. Yeah. So that's the first step, like a totally uncivilized state of being. Bava Metzia was things are getting more civilized. You're not talking about people actually harming each other, but still you have arguments. You start off. How does the Masechta start off? Two people are holding on to a talus, each one claiming that I found it, and they end up splitting it. Our Masechta is getting to an even more civilized state of being. We're going to start out with a case of partners, hashutfin, partners, where even though, okay, we're going to talk about in the Mishnah they want to divide their property, but still they're dividing it with their joint consent, as we'll learn in the Gemara, and they even, what do? They end up building a wall, as we'll say in the Mishnah, which is jointly owned by both of them. So like the very existence of that wall shows a certain amount of Avat Yisrael. And therefore, the Rebbe said, so that's the idea, how you have that progression from one Masechta to another, and ultimately, this is Bava Basra, this is the last one, just as this is the last Golos, which we should already be finished with, and go on to Sanhedrin, having the Sanhedrin reestablished.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Now to begin with the Masechta. Mishnah says, Hashutfin Shirotu Lassus Mechitza B'chatzer. If partners want to make a Mechitza in their Chatzer, we'll learn in the Gemara that Mechitza can have two possible meanings. It can mean a partition, a wall, or it can mean a division. We'll see in the Gemara how those two possibilities shake out. So they want to make this mechitza. They build the wall in the middle. In the middle, meaning in other words that each one of them gives some of the space as well as some of the materials for building the wall. Which, by the way, before I should point out, they need the wall because they want to divide it. As we'll see. The point is, even if one person's chatzar, even if one person's portion of it is larger than the other, most Mefarshim say, you still build the wall exactly in the middle. You don't say, for example, where yours is twice the size of mine, therefore you should give twice the space or whatever. No, nothing like that.
It should be
exactly even, yeah. Tosfos, by the way, points out the logic why our Masechta starts with this topic, besides the deeper ideas that we were just talking about. Tosfos says it's basically a continuation. The last parak we learned in Bava Metzia was about two people who are also sort of partners. One owns the first floor of a house, one owns the second floor. We have the last case of the two gardens next door to each other. So this is a similar kind of thing where you have two, one next to the other. Interesting also idea, but I don't want to get too far off topic, but the interesting thing, elsewhere, Tosfos talks about the idea when a Masechta begins with the word hey, with the letter hey, like ha isha niknes at the beginning of Kiddushin, it means that we're referring to some isha, for example, in this case, shrutfin, that we already know of from before. So where do we know of the shrutfin from before? So one answer is based on the last Masechta. We mentioned over there about people who own a first floor and a second floor. So now we know that there's a concept of shrutfin, hash shrutfin. So now suppose these shrutfin, these partners, want to divide their property. The Chacham Sofer gives a different answer. He says there's a pasuk that refers to the concept that when you have two people that are arguing over how to divide, how to dispose of property, for example, two brothers who are arguing how to divide up their father's estate or whatever, so in Parshas Devarim, Moshe tells the judges how to judge such cases. So therefore, we know from the Torah itself that there is such a thing, and therefore, HaShutfin, the Shutfin of whom are talked about in that pasuk, now we have to deal with the details of that. So they build the wall in the middle. If it's a place where the local minhag is that they make a wall out of drill, which we'll learn in the Gemara later on, means unhewn stones, uncut stones, so they stick out on the two sides, or gazis, or cut stones, kfisin, or half bricks with mortar or rubble or whatever between them, or levenim, or plain bricks, bainin, in all cases they build it, hakol k'minag ha-medina, everything goes according to the local minhag, whatever the meaning, in other words, if, for example, Rashi says, let's say the local minhag is to build the grill with unhewn stones, which we're going to see in a minute in the Mishnah, you have to build that as a very thick wall.
Were they raw stones?
Yeah, I don't know if they're raw on all six sides, or just they were carved, or just they were shaped on right. Four sides, and just the front and back, I don't know, I'm not sure. Anyway, whatever it is, that kind of wall, as the Mishnah is going to say in a minute, is very thick. If that's the local minhag, is to build a wall that way, the other person does not have the ability to say, no, I don't want to pay for that much, I don't want to give up that much space, I'd rather just have gazes, I'd rather have cut stones, for example, since the local minhag hamedina is do that way, that's what you got to stick to. Yeah, too bad. Here's the Mishnah. Gvil, if you're building the wall of gvil, of unhewn stones, zenos and gimel tfachim, zenos and gimel tfachim, then each one has to give three tfachim of space of his own property, yeah. Because such a wall is six tfachim thick. So each one of them is going to have to give away three tfachim of his property to build that wall. And, of course, they're also going to have to give half the material.
Regardless of the amount of property that he has.
Right, that's what we're saying. The Rashash wants to say differently. The Rashash wants, that one of the very later Achronim, wants to say that maybe it should depend on the size of the chaser. But the Poskim say that not. So the Ramah, one of the Rashonim, says that not. And others also say that no. That the point of the Mishnah mentioning the Emsa is that regardless, it's always half and half. So each one gives three tefachim. But gazis, if it's hewn stones, cut stones, then it's a thinner wall. You only need five tefachim.
If it's three shetim, that would be the same, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be, but you're not building a wall between all three of them, right? You're building a wall between each pair of them. Yeah,
it would be three walls adjacent to three.
Fine, but I'm saying you're going to have one wall, another wall, another wall, whatever. Yeah, so it would be the same principle. Yeah, same principle. But gazis, if it's cut stones, then it's only five tefachim thick. Therefore, zenos and tefachim mechta, zenos and tefachim mechta. So each one only has to give away 2.5 tefachim, total five. But kfisin, if you're using this kfisin, these half bricks, a wall of half bricks on each side and mortar in the middle, zenos and tefachim, zenos and tefachim. Each one gives two tefachim because the total wall is four tefachim thick. But levenin, if it's plain bricks, which a plain brick in those days was three tefachim thick,
six, five, four.
So 6, 5, 4, 3. Zenos and tefach mechta, zenos and tefach mechta. When it comes to bricks, each one gives 1.5 tefachim because the total is 3 tefachim.
Emsa, regardless of the size. I mean, what do we have to go give these three examples?
So Tosfos talks about that. Tosfos says that given that the Mishnah said, Akol k'minag ha-medina, since we're saying that everything goes according to the local minhag, why does the Mishnah need to give us numbers?
Right.
Whatever the local minhag is, to build a gazas, or what have you, is how you do it.
Right.
So Tosfos says like this. Suppose that the local minig is, let's say you're building a wall out of gvil, out of uncut stones. Suppose the local minig is that you make such a wall not six tefachim thick, but seven or eight or whatever.
Anything.
Then, whatever. If it's larger, then what the Mishnah is telling us is maximum amount. In other words, if the local minig is to make such a wall seven tefachim thick, for example, then either one of them has the ability to say, I'm sorry, I don't have to follow minig amadinah. The Mishnah said six, and meaning three and three,
so
I'm not obligated. Okay, so Tosfos goes on to explain, what if the local minig is the other way around? What if the local minig is that a wall of gvil is built only four or five or whatever it is, tefachim thick? Then fine, he's entitled to go a kol kaminig amadinah. And again, if the other person says, yeah, but the Mishnah says six, then the other guy can say yes, but minig amadinah is only five. For this type of building material.
Oh, really? I call Kamina Gamina.
So it is. No. So it's a call Kamina Gamina as long as it's less or equal to the amounts in the Mishnah, but not more. Other Rishonim disagree with that, by the way. Other Rishonim say that no, that it means six is six, meaning not more, not less. Right. Yeah. Okay, Tosfos also talks about one other thing. We're going to end up talking in the Gemara. You can even have place, Hakok Minig Amadina also comes to include, what if the local minig is not to build stone or brick walls at all? What if the local minig is when you're dividing up a chaser, all you do is, for example, you make a partition, for example, a wooden, or let's say, for example, hoots of a daphne, the Gemara is going to say, which means, for example, branches woven together. So that's fine also, Hakok Minig Amadina. However, then Tosfos says, if the local minig is that a wall to divide a chaser is even less than that, then we also don't say a kolka minig amadina. Sometimes, Tosfos says, there can be a minig that you can't rely on. There may be a local minig, but it's a wrong minig, and you shouldn't rely on it. There has to be a minimum amount. We're going to learn in the Gemara the reason for this wall, the reason why we're making a wall in the first place, is to prevent what we're going to talk about in the Gemara called hezek riyah, where you're causing damage to the other person by peeking in on him while he's in his chatzar. He can't freely use his chatzar because you can look in on him. So therefore, as long as you're at least doing chutz of a daphne, for example, which is fine, it's not a solid wall, but at least it's made of solid material, it's made out of branches tightly woven together or whatever, that's fine. But if the local minig is that to divide up a chatzar, we do something even less than that, where there's no privacy, that's not considered a valid minig.
It seems to be talking about chutz la'aretz.
No, this is regardless. Eretz Yisrael, chutz la'aretz, same rules apply. Yeah.
Midag ha'medina.
Yeah, midag ha'medina just means the local area. Yeah. Continues the Mishnah. Lefichach, therefore, because we're saying that the wall is supposed to be built jointly by both of them, half in each of their property and half the material belongs to each of them. Im nafal ha'kotz. So what happens many years later, the wall fell down, and we don't remember who built it at the time. We assume that it was built according to those rules. Hamakam b'havanim shal shneim. Then the space and the stones belong to both of them. Even if Rashi explains, we're going to learn in the Gemara. Even let's say the whole wall collapsed and it so happened that all the stones fell into one guy's property. And Tosfos adds, even let's say, for example, they remain in his property for a couple of weeks or whatever. He doesn't have the ability to say, well, they're in my property. I have a chazakah on them. Therefore, if you want half of them, you have to prove. No, we assume the wall was built according to the specifications, 50-50, and therefore the other guy is entitled to 50% of it. Continues the mission of a chen b'dina. The same thing is true in a garden.
Meaning, plus to what?
This that we're saying is that if you're going to make a wall, it has to be joint. It has to be that both of them give half the space and both of them give half the materials. Also applies in a garden. Makam shenagu ligdo, in a place where the minhag is to make a wall around the garden, mechayv moise, then we obligate the other guy to share in half the space and half the cost. Aval b'bika, but in a valley, which is you have a bunch of fields of grain, for example, there.
So in the mountainous area, you put...
No, not mountainous. Gina means a garden.
Bika.
What? Bika means a valley.
Right, so since...
No, it has nothing to do with mountains, per se. We don't mean, okay, maybe a valley isn't the right word for it.
Valley here, maybe...
No. A bika generally is like this. You have a bunch of individual fields. We learned this in Bava Metzia as well. You have a bunch of fields that together make up one large valley.
Right.
You have a certain division between one field and the next. Usually you just have a pile of dirt between one and the next, a long berm, like a pile of dirt between one and the next. But you don't really have a fence, per se, necessarily, unless you need it to keep out wild animals or what have you. So when it comes to a chaser, one person can force the other one to build a wall over there so that he has privacy. In a gina also, for reasons which we'll learn in the Gemara. However, when it comes to a bika, when it comes to a valley, then makom shenagu shaloy ligder ein mechayvin. I say if it's a place where the minyag is not to make fences between one field and next, we can't obligate the other guy to share in the cost of building a fence. If one guy says I want a fence around my property, we can't force the other guy to join in it.
But we cannot prevent the guy from doing it if he wants it.
Sure, but it has to be on his property. Ella, we're going to talk about also in the Gemara, we'll talk about tomorrow, that we'll explain in the Gemara that what the Mishnah is implying, even though it's not saying so in so many words, but the implication is that a Gina, usually we assume, unless the local Minig HaMedina is specifically otherwise, that a wall should be built. As opposed to with a Bika, with a valley, we usually assume, unless the Minig HaMedina is specifically otherwise, that a wall does not need to be built.
What's the reason?
We'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara the logic behind it. Ella im Ratza, however, if somebody wants, one particular field owner wants a wall around his property, then he makes the wall entirely on his own property. He builds the wall. And he makes a chazis, meaning a mark on the outside of the wall, the outside meaning the side facing away from him. He makes a mark there to show that that wall belongs to him. What the nature of that mark is, we'll learn later on in the Gemara on Daf Dalet. We'll talk about the nature of that mark and why it has to be on the other side. Why shouldn't it be on his side?
One, even if it's a wall that's like
a mark along the length of the wall.
It can be a line.
We'll see exactly in the Gemara. Wait, so we'll see in a couple of days, Bez Hashem, what exactly that chazis consists of. L'fichach, therefore, since we have a chazis on it, im nafal akosel. So now, if later on the wall falls down, hamakam ba'avanim shalo, then the space and the stones all belong to him, because the fact that there was a chazis there shows that it belonged to him in the first place.
Implying that if there's no chazis, it doesn't.
Im asum midas shneim. On the other hand, let's say he did agree with the other guy, let's build the wall jointly, and therefore they built it on their, therefore bonin asakosel ben. So in that case, they would build the wall in the middle, they would build it jointly, half on my property, half on yours. V'oitzin chazis mikan mikan. In that case, what you do is you make a chazis on both sides. Now, why in this case you don't make, why in the earlier case you don't make any chazis at all, and here we make one on both sides, that's another point the Gemara is going to take up later. So we'll get to it in a couple of days. But anyway, you make a chazis on both sides. Therefore, since
the other case, we did chazis mibachut.
No, I'm saying earlier in the mission, when we built a wall between the chazis, we didn't say anything about a chazis. Why now with a wall between fields do we need a chazis? We'll deal with that there. Lefichach im nafal akosel. Therefore, since the wall has a chazis on both sides, demonstrating that it was built jointly by both of them, im nafal akosel. So if the wall falls down, amakam ba'avanim shal shneim, then the space and the stones we can assume belong to both of them, because that was the purpose of having a double chazis on it. So the Gemara starts up. Savruha. We thought to say, to explain the Mishnah, my mechitza, that when the Mishnah, what does it mean when the Mishnah says hashutfen shirotzu lasas mechitza b'chata, that they wanted to make a mechitza, we thought to say that the word mechitza means gudra, a wall.
Right.
Which, in other words, then we would translate the Mishnah, if they want to make a wall on the chata, then they build the wall in the middle. And how do we see that mechitza can mean a wall? Kibitanya, as we learn, a braisa as follows. Now, we know there's a mitzvah, we've talked about this, we learned this actually back in Baba Kama as well. There's a mitzvah in the Torah of Kalaya Kerem. You're not allowed to have grapes planted near grain, and if they're too close together, then it all becomes awesome. There's also practically speaking, you want to have, if I have a field near your vineyard, then there has to be a certain amount of clear space left between them, because the owner of the vineyard needs to plow his vineyard, and you need space for that. You need 4 amps. So therefore, let's say, for example, Rashi mentions in the second paragraph, we're going to learn that, for example, if you have a vineyard over here, I can't plant a tree in my property within 4 amos of it, because then that interferes with you taking care of your vineyard. We'll learn about Rabbi Yossi versus a Chachamim.
It would be considered Kilayim?
No, never mind Kilayim. A tree next to a vineyard is not Kilayim,
right,
but it interferes. Partially, the guy can't get by with his plow and his gear and whatever, because there's not enough room over there. When it comes to, if the guy instead of a tree has grain planted there, you have the additional issue of Kilayakerim. The difference is that, now, so what happens if you have a fence in between? The din is, both of them are allowed to plant all the way up to the fence. The fence is a separator as far as Kilayim. It's also a separator as far as having to take care of the vineyard. The guy himself, he has the fence over there. You need room for your plowing. You anyway, you're going to have to keep your vines 4 amos away from the fence. Yeah. So, what happens now? Suppose that this fence around the vineyard, between it and the field next door, falls down or gets broken open. the owner of the field has to tell the owner of the vineyard, fix it. Because if not, then your grapes are going to cause my wheat. Actually, your grapes also are going to become kelaim, and they're going to be osur.
How is that?
Because the Torah tells us that if you have grapes planted near grain, then everything becomes osur. And the Chachamim established that the minimum, when you have an entire vineyard, the minimum is 4 amos. So therefore, if they're going to be any closer, then so like this again, they were planted all the way next to the fence over here. In some cases, 6 trochon is the minimum. Whatever. Let's not get into that. The point is that now, like this, the fence got broken open. The din will be as soon as the grapes or the grain increase by 1/200th, then they'll become also increased by 1/200th. The Yerushalmi explains the way we make the calculation is we see how long this particular type of produce takes to dry out. If I, for example, if I pick a grape off this vine,
this is Midrash Rabbanan, right?
No, it's Midrash Eisa. This is all Midrash.
No, these Midas.
No, the Midas themselves are given to us by the Chachamim, but they are at least the 6 Tzachim is the Raisa, and I think the 4 Amos is as well. Let's say for the 200 is also, I think the 200 is Dirabanan, but whatever, it still becomes also anyway. The 200 we figure out like this. Suppose, for example, let's say with grain. Suppose that you harvest this grain, and it will take 100 hours for a stalk of this grain, for the grain on it, for the seeds on it, to completely dry out. Then we assume it also took 100 hours of growth time for it to grow. In that case, then, that's how the Yerushalmi says we calculate it. In that case, 1/200th, that is half an hour. So if a half hour passes from when it was broken open until then it'll become osir. Provided, actually, now Tosfos says, based on what we see in the Gemara, that only applies if the owner of the vineyard had yish. If he decided, forget about it, I can't be bothered to fix it. As long as he didn't have yish, as long as he's still trying to work on getting materials for it, then even if half an hour has passed, then it's still not flying yet.
Yish means voluntarily, not
yes.
If he forgets.
Right. Yeah. So, b'chitzas hakerem shenif, it's a omer loy gedur. The owner of the field tells the owner of the vineyard, fix the fence. Why is it on him? Tosfos says, because after all, the 4 amos is there for the sake of the vineyard, so it can be cultivated. So therefore,
yeah,
it's more logical. No, but that's the logic is to say, first of all, your grapes are the ones that's causing the issue. Your grapevines are considered to extend out 4 amos into my field, and therefore anything within 4 amos of them becomes offset. If it were just that my field was here and your vineyard wasn't there, nothing would happen.
If it was wheat, for instance.
That's what we're talking about, wheat versus vine. Yeah. That's the thing. Wheat doesn't have a 4 amos thing around it. Vines do. Therefore, it's up to the vineyard owner to do something about it. There is also, by the way, that's the Emes Liakov points out the reason why you can find other places where the word mechitza means a wall. Why do we need Davka this one? Is because we want to stress that we're not just talking about the kind of mechitza that would be enough. As far as the dinim of kelayim, really you wouldn't need a full-fledged wall. As long as you have, for example, a tzuras ha-pesach, like you do for an eruv,
that would be enough.
But for the purpose of what Rashi mentioned, that practically speaking, that you want to make sure that there's room enough around the vineyard to take care of it, that's where an actual wall is necessary. And therefore, we want to stress that. Okay. So, Omer lo gedur, so he tells him to fix it, meaning Tosfos says if he doesn't tell him, then the guy's not responsible for the damage because he can say, I didn't know about it, or whatever. Or I didn't know that it's my responsibility. Not I didn't know about it, but I didn't know it's my responsibility.
So
that's the thing. Omer loy, the owner of the field, has to tell him in order for him to be chayav for any damages that'll happen, but that the wheat will become ulcer, he has to be explicitly told fix the fence. Yeah. Okay. Chazer v'nifritza, what if it breaks? Yeah. Chazer v'nifritza, what if it breaks down again? Again, omer loy gedur. Again, the other guy has to tell him fix it. Which means Tosfos says. Well, no, because Tosfos says.
So that's
the point. In other words, because the reason why you have to tell him, he would think, well, I already fixed it once. Why should I have to bother fixing it again? No, every time it's your responsibility, because again, the only reason why we need this separation in the first place is because you have your vines over here, and they're the ones that need 4 amos of space. So therefore, we have to tell him again, omer lo gedur. There is, by the way, there are Rishonim who have a gear, so omer lo gedur, that it's not the owner of the field tells him, but rather that Beis Din have to warn him to fix it. Okay.
Even with the field who breaks the fence.
Well, if he breaks it deliberately, that's his problem. We're not talking about that.
If
he acts and breaks it, he'd have to fix it, sure. Okay.
Him or the person?
Him. Yeah, he's the one who did it. Yeah, no, the guy with the field. He's the one who broke it. He's the one who'd have to fix it. What's wrong with broke Christ up? Continues the Brayta, and this Yai Shemena, what if he gave up on it? The loy gadra, and he didn't fix it. and afterwards the grain grew by another 1/200, a half hour in our scenario before. Hareza a kiddush, then it all becomes osur. Kiddush, you would think means holy, but the pasuk uses the expression pentikdash hamaleya. Rashi explains over there on the pasuk that the word shurish kodesh means to be separated. So therefore, usually we use it in the positive sense, something that is separated from the mundane to be holy. Here it's separated as in from use, as in it becomes osur. And in Chassidus, it's all about all over the place. It talks about how the idea, for example, when we say in davening, Kaddish, 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 Hashem Tzvakeh, it means that Hashem is moved over, that Hashem is separated from the mundane world, that Hashem is not part of the world, that he's beyond, he's not part of it in the sense that we can comprehend. Even the Malachim are the ones who say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. Even they, Hashem is far beyond their comprehension. He's Kaddish in that sense. He's like a different entity, kind of, yeah. Okay. And therefore the owner of the vineyard is chayev for the damages because of his negligence, because he didn't fix the fence, that the other guy's wheat becomes also. Which, by the way, Tosfos talked about. I mean, you have two different issues over here.
Why is the wheat?
The wheat becomes also because that's what the Torah says. But he's the one who's going to, so the owner of the vineyard is going to have to pay for it. The owner of the vineyard is going to have to pay for it. He calls the other guy damages. If he wants to fix the fence to prevent his wheat from becoming also, sure, he can do that, but afterwards he can probably tell the other guy, you have to reimburse me for that. Okay. Tosfos points out two issues over here. Number one, on the face of it, isn't this a case of Hezek, Shein, and Nicker? Which we learned back in Gittin. There's no visible difference in the wheat before or after it became Shalayim. It's only Midrabanan that you're chayav for such a thing. And over here, why should he be? So Tosfos says that, no, over here we do actually consider this Hezek Nicker because anybody who walks by can actually see the broken fence. They can actually see, look, there are vines here within 4 amos of the wheat, and they're not, and there's no separation between them. So that can be considered Nezek, then that can be considered a Hezek that is Nicker. Even though the
Nezek itself cannot be Nicker.
The actual effect of it on the wheat is not Nicker, but the cause is. That's what Tosfos explains. Second of all, there's also the whole question, Tosfos doesn't really deal with, over here with it, but other Mephoshim do, on the whole question, he didn't directly cause the Hezek, it's only indirect, by him failing to fix it. However, we learned in Bava Kamma the concept of Dina de Garmi, that if you do something which directly causes a Hezek to somebody else, and we talked a great deal over there about what exactly the definition of Garmi is versus Grama, but among them is if it's a direct inevitable cause of your action, then yes, you're chayav. In this case, it's a direct inevitable cause because he didn't fix it and therefore it becomes osur. So therefore, yeah. Now, so that was a side point just to explain that we can explain the word, to show that we can use, that we can explain the word mechitza in our Mishnah to mean a wall. Fine, now getting back to the actual Mishnah then. Taima derotu. In that case, if we understand the Mishnah that way, then again, what is the Mishnah saying? If the two partners wanted to build a wall, wanted to build a mechitza, which we're saying means a wall, then they build the wall in the middle where each of them gives half the space for it. Which implies taima derotu, which implies why do they have to build a wall? Only because both of them agreed to it. Holo derotu, but implying that both of them did not agree to it. And mechayvenot, so we can't force one guy to join in building a wall with the other.
They have to agree.
They would have to agree. Alma, which proves then that we should say Hezek Riyah Lav Shnei Hezek, that the damage that could be caused by one person looking in and being able to see the other person while he's doing his things in his chotzer is not considered a real Hezek. Because that's the implication of it, right? We're saying that I'm saying I want to be able to have privacy in my chotzer, let's build a wall. The other guy has the ability to say, no, I don't feel that it's a problem. I'll just, fine, when you're in your chotzer, I'll stay out of the way, whatever it is. I don't want to have to spend money and then give space away from my chotzer to build a wall just because you feel inconvenience. And the Mishnah seems to be implying that he has the right to do that. Only if they agreed to build a wall, then they're going to build it in the middle where both of them give land for it. Which shows that Hezek Riyah is not a Hezek. The Gemara says ve'ema. No, how do you know that's what the Mishnah means? Ve'ema mechitza plugda. Maybe say rather that the word mechitza in our Mishnah means a division. And how do we know mechitza can mean a division? D'chtiv batihi mechtas ha'eda, because we find a pasuk that says the division, the half that was given to the congregation. This is after the war with Midian when they took all the spoils and counted them up in Parshas Matos. that it describes over there, how half of it went to the soldiers, and the other half went to the Jewish people, went to the rest of the Jewish people collectively, and the total lists each one's half and how much they gave to the Kohenim and Levim respectively. So we use the word mechtas over there, which is similar to the word mechitza. And if we understand the Mishnah that way, then we would have to understand like this. Hashutfin should also lasis mechitza b'chotzer. If they want to make a division, meaning they want to divide the chotzer, automatically, because they want to divide it, bo'in esakosa b'emsa, then they have to build a wall in the middle. Which would, even if the other one doesn't agree. The kibin d'rotsu, meaning that once they want to divide it.
Even if the other one does not agree.
If we understand the Mishnah that way, it would mean once they both jointly agree we're going to divide this chotzer, automatically one of them has the ability to say, now we have to build a wall because otherwise I have no privacy in my chotzer, and the other one is going to have to agree to that and give away half the space for the wall. That's the other way of looking. Because if we understand the Mishnah that way, that's what it's saying. The kibin d'rotsu, because we're saying that if they agreed to divide it, bo'in esakosa b'kocho, then we can build the wall even if the other one says, I don't want to have to give away space for it.
Right.
Alma, which would show that if we learn the Mishnah that way, hezekriya shmei hezek, that this hezekriya, this that one person is saying, I can't use my chotzu in peace because you can be looking in on me anytime,
right.
We would consider that a real hezek, and therefore, I have the ability to force you, don't cause me
not
that hezek.
But it's an expense.
Right. Right. Well, hezek meaning, in other words, it's a valid claim that I can say it interferes with my use of the chotzer, and therefore it's enforceable to say that you have to do something to prevent that hezek.
You can't pay for it.
No, according to the second explanation, you could. According to the first explanation, we said hezek ria lav shmei hezek. Meaning it's not... What?
Yeah.
Not necessarily you could put a monetary value, but the point, I mean, well, maybe not. The truth is, actually, Mefarshim discussed the question, what is the nature of hezek ria, actually? Is it essentially a thing of mamon, where, you know, you're preventing me from the use of my chotzer, or is it a nizkei aguf kind of, it's you who are causing, who are doing something in other words, do we look at it as you are causing me a hezek, or are you looking at it with your body by looking at me, or are we looking at it as that you're interfering with my use of my property? Whatever, it's two different nuances. Whatever, anyway. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara says, Ihochi. Okay, but if you're going to understand the Mishnah that second way, what do you mean, Hai should also lachas mechitza? Then why would the Mishnah use the expression that the two of them wanted to make a mechitza, which we could then understand that mechitza means a wall like we did in the first version? Then the Mishnah should have said more clearly. They wanted to divide. Use a verb instead of a noun, and that way it makes it clear that you mean the verb of dividing rather than a noun meaning a wall. Okay, so my answer is back, Elamai Guda. So what are you going to tell me then, that the word mechitza must necessarily mean wall? You also have a problem with the wording of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah continues, bonin esakoisel, it says if they wanted to make a mechitza, and you're arguing that mechitza can mean a wall, you're saying bonin esakoisel, they build the wall, bonin oisin, by your life. Fine, then the Mishnah should just say they wanted to make a mechitza, they build it. No reason to repeat the word koisel, that's not even the same word, mechitza and koisel. No reason to mention the word koisel again if the word mechitza already means a wall. So either way, you have a problem with the wording of the Mishnah. The Gemara answers no. Itana oisai, no. You could answer that the Mishnah does mean, that the word mechitze in our Mishnah does mean a wall, does mean a partition. However, why didn't the Mishnah continue boinin oisai? Because itana oisai, because if the Mishnah had continued by saying they build it, then you wouldn't realize that the word it, gavka, means a wall. You would think, havaminu b'mesipas v'alma. You would think it would be good enough to say that you could just build a little row of pegs in the ground to mark off one from the other. You would understand, in other words, that can be called a mechitza, actually. After all, that can be called
The wall for the first...
No, if we said mechitza, and we said mechitza means a wall, but a wall doesn't necessarily have to mean something solid. It could mean something that demarcates one from the other. So fine, then in that case, a mesipa also demarcates, also marks off one from the other. Tosfos, by the way, gives a different explanation. A mesipus could be an actual wall, but it's a wall that has a lot of windows in it. So you could understand it that way. A shutfin should also last as mechitza b'chotzer. They wanted to make a wall. If the Mishnah had said bonin oisai, then they can build the wall. It can be a wall, but it has a wall that has a lot of windows and openings. That has a lot of windows and openings. Kamash malon koisel, by saying specifically a wall, which means definitely a solid wall, then it means that and nothing else. And that means that hezek ria is not a hezek. They both have to mutually agree to build a wall, but once they do, it has to be an actual wall, not just a mesipa. So unless they both agree to it, obviously.
And therefore,
you don't have a proof.
Why would they want a mesipa? Then they could still look.
Okay, but that's suppose they agreed to. Then let's say they agreed. Fine. But people can agree to whatever they want.
And what's the point of the wall?
Okay, because the point of the wall is still to show that I own this part and you own that part.
Right?
For example, we can use the windows to pass things back and forth to each other. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, the point is that if we look at it that way, fine. The wording of the Mishnah, the fact that it says, fine, it still works out. They wanted to build a wall. Once they want to build we're saying that mechitza, according to this version, means a wall.
Yeah.
Once they mutually agreed to build a wall, then they can each tell each other, then one of them can tell the other, well, we have to build this wall jointly. You have to give away half the space to it, and I'm going to give away half the space for it. We don't have the ability to say, one of them can't say, well, fine, I agreed to build a wall, but I didn't agree to build it on my property, let's say.
The wall implies the expense has to be divided.
I mean, yeah. And then when the Mishnah continues, Bonin at the coast of the Emsa, the Chulah, the Mishnah continues that they build the wall in the middle. So the question is, and so they build in the middle. The question is, Pshita. Well, isn't that obvious? If they both agreed to build the wall, and we're assuming now, again, we're still going according to the expression that Mechitza means a wall. Tomorrow, where the Gemara is going to deal with the opposite way of looking at it, that maybe after all, Mechitza means a division. But right now, we're still on the version that Mechitza means a wall. In other words, the version that Hezekiah is not.
Only a wall. Why did the Mishnah start talking about Mechitza in the first place?
That's what we said, because they both agreed to build a wall. Once they agreed to build a wall, it has to be a real solid wall, not a Mesipa. Right? That's why it continues. It was Kosel to imply a real wall, not a Mesipa.
If they agreed to build a wall.
Because then there's no chiddush in it. Of course, if they agreed to build a wall, they have to build a wall. The chiddush is, even if we're just saying they agreed to build a wall without specifying without specifying what kind of wall, but they did agree they're going to build a wall, then it has to be an actual wall. One of them does not have the ability to say unilaterally, let's just build a mesipa. Okay. So, but the question is still, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah that we're saying that each one gives half the space for it? The answer is, Loitzricha, the Mishnah doesn't need to tell us, only in the case, to Kodim Chad V'Ratzi L'Chavre. Suppose that one of them goes and asks, and suppose they didn't mutually agree, but one of them goes to the other and says, how about let's divide it with a wall? And the other guy agrees. So, Maudetema, you would think maybe he has the ability to say, Masi Omel, you would think maybe he has the ability to say to him, Ki Yisratzoi Lach Bazira, I only agreed to you as far as, fine, that we're going to divide... we're going to make it that now neither of us is going to have the full use of the chatzar anymore. Fine, we're going to divide it with some kind of thin partition of wood or branches or what have you. So at least fine, we'll take care of your Hezekiah problem. You'll have privacy in your chatzar. However, the idea b'tashmishta lo yisratzoi, but to agree that we should build an actual stone wall where it's going to take 3 tefachim out of my property along the length of my chaser, lo yisratzoi. Maybe he has the ability to argue that I didn't agree to that. Lo yisratzoi loch kamash malon. That is the chiddush that no. Once he agreed to build a mechitza, then we have to go committing a medina. And if committing a medina is that they build then a wall is going to be built, and he's going to have to give away his 3 tefachim or what have you.
Nothing between that.
Right. So now, again, the operating assumption we're using over here is, if we say that the word mechitza in our Mishnah means a wall, then the Mishnah is implying that hezek riyah in and of itself is not a hezek. Namely, just because I say we divided the chotzer, now I want privacy in my area, the other guy does not have to agree, let's build a wall for that purpose. The other guy has the ability to say, tough luck, you'll have to deal with the hezek riyah. So now the Gemara is going to try to bring a number of proofs to the contrary.
The fact we're saying that building a wall...
The fact the Mishnah starts off, Ashutkan Shirotu Lachas Mechitza B'Chotzer, only if they agreed to build a wall, only then do they have to build a wall.
Right.
Meaning, but as opposed to that, suppose they just said, let's split up the Chotzer, you use that half, I'll use that half. That in and of itself does not create the requirement for a wall, which means that Hezekiah is not Hezek. If we look at it that way, so that's the question. The Hezek Riyah Lav Shmei Hezek. So the Gemara is going to bring 7 objections for that. And the siman for them, Dina, Koso, Kofin, Vachokin, Chalonis, Derev Nachman. 6, actually. So there's 6 cases that we're going to see that there seems to be, that seems to contradict that. Number 1, Toshma, come, let's prove from our Mishnah. The Mishnah had continued, V'chein Begina. The same din applies to a garden. That if somebody wants a wall, that if the Minigam and Dina is to build a wall, then you have to build a wall. Now,
It
applies to a gina also. Now, it doesn't matter. Well, we'll see later on in the parish the minimum size. Yeah. No, that's a rabbi. So v'chein begina, on the face of it, why should you need to build a wall around a gina? L'chura, because of hezek, on the face of it, because of hezek riyah. So that should prove that hezek riyah is a hezek. Why else? What would be the problem that you need a wall around your gina? The answer is gina shiny. On the contrary, a gina, a garden, on the contrary, there's more reason to say you need a wall. Kidir ababa, based on what Rababa says. The Amr ababa, Amr abhuna, Amr rab. Also, la'adam lamed b'sdei chaveroi. A person is not allowed to stand next to his, we learned this in Brava Matiya, a person is not allowed to stand next to somebody else's field, the shah, shia, medis, become a sale, while it has its growth growing in it, because he's going to give him an ayin hara. So therefore, now, Tosfos points out, the point is, therefore, standing in it means near it, but it is to watch it, to look at it while the crops are growing in it. Now, we learned in the Mishnah that you're not obligated to build a wall around a field. Tosfos says the difference is how long do crops grow in a field? A month, 2 months, or whatever. Fine. The other guy can argue during that month or 2 months, I'll make sure to stay away from your field and not stare into it and not cause you an ayin hara. A gina, a garden, has things growing in it all year round or a good part of the year. So therefore, the owner of the garden has a much stronger claim to say there's going to be hezek riyah over here.
Couldn't you say that a gina, by definition, is a place where you want to be private?
You could argue the same thing about a chaser. But a gina, you don't usually do private things in. But the point is, because of this problem where hezek riyah can actually affect, with ayin hara can actually affect the crops, it's interesting, the Rambam actually learns the other way around. The Rambam writes in Yad HaChazaka that unlike in the case of a chatzar, which as we're going to learn, the wall has to be 4 amos tall to prevent the other person from looking over, because 4 amos is above the height of a person. And when it comes to a gina, the Rambam says, even if a wall is going to be built, it doesn't have to be taller than 10 tefachim. So the Chachmei Lunel, the Chachamim of Lunel in southern France, wrote a letter to the Rambam asking him why, based on our Gemara, it should seem that you need 4 amos. The Rambam answers no. When our Gemara is saying you're not allowed to stand by somebody else's field, and the problem of an ayin hara over here, it's talking midas chassidus. It's talking about what's the right thing to do, and it's not talking a strict halacha. As a matter of strict halacha, a person does not have the ability to say, I don't want you peeking into my garden. You want a fence around your garden to prevent animals or whatever, to prevent my animals or whatever from getting in there, 10 tefachim is enough for that. Or just to mark it off or whatever. 10 tefachim is enough for that. But to say that I want to actually prevent you from looking into my garden, that I'm learning he doesn't have the ability to do that.
But what will be enough to prevent ayin hara?
According to 4 amos, because enough for them to look over. According to the Rambam, though, this that we're saying that you're not allowed to look into somebody else's field or garden or what have you is only midas chassidus. I can't obligate you to build a wall because midas chassidus. I can tell you, it'd be a nice guy if you're a chassid and you don't look into my garden, you don't give it an ayin hara, but I don't have the ability to legally obligate you to do that.
What do you say the purpose of ayin hara?
It might even be that he doesn't mean to give it an ayin hara, but just the fact that he's looking at it may have an effect on it. Okay. The Gemara asked Vavachein Katani. Okay, but the Mishnah had said the same thing with a garden, implying that the reason why you're building the wall for the garden is the same as for the chaser. If the reason for the garden is based on hezek riyah, then the reason for the chaser must also be hezek riyah.
Anything.
Yeah.
The chatzar doesn't grow it.
No, but the point is, if we're saying that, but that's what we're asking. Given that we just established that the gina, there's more of a reason to build a wall because of the problem of hezek riyah, because of the growth, because there's something growing there. But if the Mishnah is saying v'chein, the same thing as the chatzar applies to a garden, the implication is that the reason behind it is the same thing. Fine, there's nothing growing in a chatzar, but the reason of hezek riyah would still be the same thing. I don't want you looking into my property. I don't want you looking into my gina, and I don't want you looking into my chatzar.
Fine, but then we're saying, we imply that there has to be hezek riyah that's different from ayin hara.
No, we're just saying, in other words, hezek riyah would mean any kind of damage that can be caused by you looking. In the case of a gina, it would be an ayin hara on the crops. In the case of a chaser, it would be that I don't have any privacy.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. The answer is no. The v'chein doesn't mean that. Agvil v'gadi. The v'chein is referring to the building materials. If you're going to build the building materials, the size, etc., the second part, what the Mishnah had said, that if you're building a wall, then each of them has to get half the space, and it's going to be built 6 tefachim thick for grill and 5 for gazes, etc., the same rules apply to a garden. Not necessarily to say that the same reason would apply. In the case of a chatzar, so far, we're saying the reason to build a wall would only be if they both mutually agree to do it. In the case of the Gina, one has the ability to force the other one to do it because of the problem of also Adam Shiyamu, to the problem of that with the Gina, there's more of a problem of Hezekiah.
So in a Chatzer, you would say just... Because what?
Because the Chatzer, you would say, the fact that you need privacy in your Chatzer is not reason enough to force me. I won't be there when you're in your Chatzer.
Right.
As opposed to a Gina, you have stuff growing there for months, and therefore...
No. Gina, I understand.
Yeah. Okay. Again, according to the Rambam would say that this whole thing is only part of the give and take, and the Gemara is not necessarily meant to be the final halacha. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Tashma, come, let's try to bring another proof from later on in our parak. The Mishnah says over there, Kosel Chotzer Shenafal, if the wall of a Chotzer falls down, Mechayven, it's a Livnes, Adal Ramas. We obligate the other person to help in rebuilding it up to 4 Amos tall. So you see then that it doesn't matter whether they wanted to or not. We see we can force him. Why should you force him? The stomach, because of Hezekiah. Yeah.
It's what?
Against his will, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The answer is not all shiny. No, but it's different if it fell down. If it fell down, so Rashi says, originally, years before, you both agreed that there was going to be a wall there. Now you don't have the ability to renege on that. Because you both agreed initially. Tosfos explains a little bit different. Granted, even let's say, fine, Hezekiah is not Hezek. Nonetheless, though, once there is a wall, a person feels more comfortable doing private things in his chatzer. Now, if years later the wall falls down, he's already gotten used to using his chatzer in this way. You can't take that away from him. Therefore, you can obligate the other person privately. Yeah. Therefore, you can obligate. So, if you're dividing the chatzer for the first time, where there's never been any expectation of privacy in this chatzer, not necessarily can you force the other guy to build a wall all of a sudden. But if now, for the last 10 years, you've been using it where there's a wall and you've gotten used to it, you can do things privately over there. Then if it falls down, then you have the ability to.
So to speak, he has a chazaka.
He has a chazaka in that sense. So the master of the Kari, like my Kari list. Well, that's a very good point. Then whoever brought this question in, what were they thinking of even bringing it in? Isn't it obvious that there's a difference whether the wall fell down or not? The answer is safe, yes, but he wanted to actually bring the next part of the Mishnah. It's true, in other words, that he argues like this. Maybe the Mishnah does not mean to imply only if it fell down, can you force the other guy to rebuild it, maybe even if it's new, but he would say that the Chiddush in the Mishnah is the next part, that where it says, Midawat Amos Olamayla in Mechayvin, I say that if it's any taller than 4 Amos, we don't force him. Meaning, even if the original wall was 5 or 6 or whatever Amos tall, still the other guy can only be compelled to build up to 4 Amos because that's enough to prevent Hezekiah. So you could understand the Mishnah to be saying only if it fell down can you force the other guy, but to build it new, you can't. Or you could understand the Mishnah to be saying either way you can force him because Hezekiah is Hezek. But on the other hand, the difference is that to begin with, let's say they both mutually agreed to build 6 Amos tall, fine, but now it fell down. 50 years later, I can't force you to build it. I can't force you to pay for the expenses of building it any taller than 4 Amos. I have a 6 Amos before. You never needed 6 Amos in the first place. 4 Amos would have been quite enough.
Because that's the standard...
That's the standard height. Because Dalit Amos, because there are two ways of looking at it. One is that a person's height is 4 Amos. Tosfos discusses it in a few places. One way of looking at it is a normal person is 4 Amos tall.
A normal person, but let's say this guy is 6 feet tall.
Okay, so then.
It's not out of work.
Okay, so maybe then in that case that's different. But we're talking about the normal size people. But anyway, that's one way. The other way, actually, Tosfos says, is that maybe really a person's height is only 3 Amos. When we usually say that 4 Amos is the makom of a person, so one way of looking at it is that when we talk about 3 Amos, we mean up to the neck, and 4 Amos is including the head. The other way of looking at it is that the total height of a person is 3 Amos, and when we say the space that a person takes up is 4 Amos, we're including if they put their hands above their head like that, then it reaches up to 4, or the other possibilities we talk about, for example, with a mikveh, that a mikveh has to be that tall, 3 Amos, because he displaces the water. The water has to go somewhere. That actually gets into, we have the famous thing, the Chazon Ish versus Rav Avraham Chaim Noah, how long an Amah is, that probably has something to do with this. If we say the height of a person is 3 Amos, that would mean an Amah has to be closer to 2 feet. If we say that the height of a person is 4 Amos, then that leaves room for a much smaller Amah, closer to 1.5 feet. Onward. Okay. Tashma, come, let's bring another proof from another Mishnah in our parak. We say that if you have...
No
conclusion one way or the other from that. Okay. We say that if you have a bunch of people who jointly own a chotzer, so you have all their houses open out into the same chotzer, they can force each other to join in the expenses of building a base sha'ar and a door for their chotzer. A door, we know. What? Kaifinosei means any individual, whatever. Livnes base sha'ar v'delos v'chotzer, to build a base sha'ar, which is a gatehouse, v'delos and a wall, and a door. A base sha'ar, basically, Rashi describes it as you have the opening to the chotzer over here, let's say. So you build a door in it. Then what you do is here's the wall of the chotzer. You have like a round thing in front with an opening in the side of it, so you can get in and out through that way. And then the wall continues from there. So that way, in other words, like you have to go in like this. You go in from through the base sha'ar, and then you turn 90 degrees and you open the door and go into the chotzer. What's the point of that base sha'ar? Evidently, the point of it is to prevent the people who walk in Rishos Rabim from looking into the chotzer. Right. The door of the chotzer in and of itself may be open a lot of times because people are going in and out. They would only close it at night. So presumably, why do you have a base sha'ar? To prevent people from looking in. Shema min hezek riyah, shmei hezek. Shouldn't that show that a hezek riyah is a valid form of hezek, and therefore he can say, each one of them can say, I have a problem with that hezek. You have to force, you have to join with me in building this base sha'ar. The answer is no. Hezek the Rabim shiny. No, but it's different when you have the whole Rabim, when you have all the people from Rishos Rabim are staring into the chotzer. Sure, you need something for that. Here we're talking about individuals, my chotzer versus yours. You could argue maybe that's not such hezek real. I can make sure to stay away when you're using your chotzer privately. Still no proof one way or the other. Okay, the Gemara says, you're telling me that hezek riyah of one person is not considered a real hezek. Toshma, come, let's prove from yet another Mishnah in our Masechta. Second, again later on in our parak rather, ein chok in a chotzer. You can't unilaterally divide a chotzer. Ad shehei b'dalat amos lozeh b'dalat amos lozeh, unless there's a space of 4x4 amos available for each one.
Unless you cannot divide it?
Not you can't divide it, but they both have to mutually agree. If we, let's say, two brothers inherit a chotzer, which is only, let's say, 6x6 amos, let's say, and one of them wants to divide it, the other one doesn't have to agree. Because if we divide it, neither of us is going to have anything worthy of being called a chotzer. But if the thing is, let's say, 8x4 amos or larger, then one of them can say, I want to divide it, and the other one has to agree. Because each one of them will have enough something that's large enough to be considered a chotzer. So, but the implication seems to be that if there is at least 4x4 amos for each one, then one of them can force the other to divide it. This that we're saying, that you don't divide it unless there's 4 amos for one and 4 amos for the other, implies, but if it is that size, then you can force the other one to divide it. Now, when we say to divide it, my lav b'koisel, l'chura doesn't divide it mean that one of them can force the other to put up an actual wall. Why? Because hezekriah. The answer is loy. The mesipas b'alma. No, you could answer that one of them has the ability to say to the other one, since we're dividing it, I'm obligating you. We have to put up something to demarcate it.
But so
it can even be a
mesipas.
We can't prove, no, because, no, that's the thing. If we're understanding our Mishnah to say that when they agreed to build a wall, they have to build a wall, not a mesipas, right, then that one would be saying if they never agreed to build a wall, then one of them can only force the other one to build a mesipas.
If they never agreed to build a wall.
You can't prove necessarily that Mishnah would be saying he can force them to begin with to build a wall. Toshma, come, let's bring another proof. A Mishnah says in the next parak, Hachaloinai, if I have a window in my wall, and somebody else who lives in the same chotzer wants to build a wall opposite my window, so we have two problems. Number one, there's the problem of hezek riyah, and number two, there's the problem if the wall is too close to the window, it'll make the house dark, not enough light, we'll get in. Therefore, bein milamayla, if you build it, you have a few possibilities. If you're building the wall higher than the window, you have to build it higher by at least 4 amos, so that the guy can't stand on top of his wall and then crouch down and peek into the window. As long as it's 4 amos away, that's what we're going to say that in a second. But bein milamayla, bein milamata, bein mekenegdan,
regardless of the side of his building,
he has a window over here. The other guy is building a building opposite it.
Yeah.
We're saying bein milamayla, bein milamata, bein mekenegdan, dalat amos. Whether above, below, or opposite, the space always has to be 4 amos. Meaning that if you're building the wall higher than the window, it has to be at least 4 amos taller, so that way the guy can't stand on the wall and crouch down and then peek into the window.
Right.
Bein milamata, and if he's building the wall lower than the window, then it has to be at least 4 amos lower than the window.
Through the length of the wall.
No. In other words, if the window is 6 amos off the ground, let's say the window is 6 amos off the ground and 1 amos tall,
right.
So the choices are either the guy has to build his wall no higher than 2 amos, so that there's at least 4 amos vertically between it and the bottom of the window, or he has to build his wall at least 11 amos tall so that the top of it is 4 amos above the top of the window.
Oh, I see.
Ben Mekinegdon.
Without himself putting windows.
Right. Ben Mekinegdon, or if it's opposite, and if it's opposite the window, it has to be at least 4 amos away from it in order not to darken it. V'toniyalo, and we learn in a braita, what's the reason for these things? Milamailan kadeshala yasasviyira. The reason why it has to be at least 4 amos taller, if you're building it taller, is so the guy can't crouch down from the top of the wall and look into your window. Milamatan kadeshala yamadviyira. That's exactly what we're going to bring. Yeah. Milamatan kadeshala yamadviyira. If it's going to be lower, it can't be within 4 amos of the height because you don't want it to stand on the wall and peek in. Mekinegdon kadeshala yasal, and it has to be at least 4 amos away horizontally so it doesn't darken the window. So you see that hezek ria is a hezek. Otherwise, why are you forcing him? Yeah. The answer is hezek and the bias shiny. It's different to hezek when it comes to a house. Of course, a person definitely does private things in his house all the time. As opposed to a chaser, not necessarily does a person do such private things there. And if he does once in a while, then the other guy can make sure to stay away at that time. So you can't prove from that to a chaser. Okay. Tashma. The Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel, Gag Hasamach L'Hatzar Chaveroi. Suppose you have one person's roof is next to the other one's chaser. So, you know, you're going uphill over there. No, you have over there. So one person's house is built low, and his roof is over here. The other guy's chaser is higher up. The ground is higher over there. So his chaser happens to be right next to the other guy's roof. You have to make a fence around the roof of 4 amos tall. Now, why should you have to? L'chora hezekriya. The answer is shiny chaser. It's different in that case. It's different in the case of a roof and a chaser versus two chasers. The difference is the Amalei Bala Chotzer Bala Gag, the one who owns the Chotzer can say to the one who owns the roof, L'didi Kvi'li Tashmishi, me, I constantly use my Chotzer. L'didach Lo Kvi'lach Tashmishtach, you don't use your roof regularly. V'lo Yadayna, the Hei Idna Slik of Asif, so I don't know in advance when you plan to go up and use your roof, the Itzin Aminach that I should hide from you. Meaning, a Chotzer, everybody uses their Chotzer all the time. So therefore, I know you're always around in your chotzer, therefore I'll know that I shouldn't do private things over there, or if I do, then I'll wait till you're not around or whatever. If you have a roof next to my chotzer, you can come up there anytime, and therefore you're obligated to build a wall. So by roof, you could argue there's reason for hezekriya, but not necessarily between one chotzer and another. So far we've had a number of exceptions, basically. We come out with enough so far, according to what we're saying so far. Generally, hezekriya is not considered a real hezek. I can't force you to build a wall to prevent it. But there are exceptions. With a garden, according to the way the Gemara has it over here, it goes out according to the Rambam, because of the growth, because of Ayin Hara, with a house, because you definitely do private things in your house, you definitely need privacy in a house, and when there was a roof next to your chotzer, but not in the general. You have to build a mic of 10 tefachim. If it weren't for hezekriya, you just have to build a 10 tefachim to prevent somebody from falling off the roof. Now, because of hezekriya, you got to build it to 4 amos. And then tomorrow the Gemara will take up the opposite possibility that maybe mechitza of our Mishnah means division, and in that case then it would mean that hezekriya is a valid hezek. We'll deal with that tomorrow. That's the general.